What's up, folks? It's another edition of the NASCAR DFS podcast. I am Matt Sells. I'm hosting this week because guess what? Our boy Dan Malin, he has some personal stuff taken care of this week. So alongside me, I'm not riding solo on this journey. We got Ed Rouse is making his first appearance this year on the DFS podcast for us. So how you doing there, Mr. Rouse?
Oh, the salesman. I'm doing really good. I can't wait to jump into this. I'm the longest road race of all time, I feel like, last week. But it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch at least. And I'm looking forward to this weekend, let me tell you. I know the rain has not been our friend so far, but I say let's jump into it and get the people what they want, the picks to win.
Yeah, you brought it up there off the bat. First of all, the practice and qualifying for both Xfinity and Cup were canceled on Saturday morning, which we kind of figured would be the case from about Wednesday on, since the forecast started at 50% rain and only got higher as the morning went. So both of those were canceled. Both were set with the formula. The Xfinity race is expected to go off about on time. We are recording this podcast. It's 12:40 in the afternoon Eastern time Saturday at the moment. So we're within about a half hour or so of the Xfinity race starting, or when it's scheduled to start. So the fields were set based on the formula, which kind of stinks, especially for the Cup race, because we're getting more chalk than I think we probably deserved based on the pricing. If things had played out, I think it would have been a more interesting slate to set for. But when we hopped on, both of us had the first sets of chalk that popped right out to us. Mine was Christopher Bell, and yours was, no shocker, but your favorite driver.
Of course it was Ryan Blaney. Just, I could not believe he was 8,800. You could literally build around those two drivers and pretty much have like the chalkiest lineup here for Richmond. So it stand out to me only because he's fast at these type of tracks. Last couple times here, and just the price under $9,000. And because of last week, he's starting 17th. So the PD is there as well.
Right. That's the thing to keep in mind. The formula is based off of last week's race mostly. And then there's some fast laps in there. And then there's point standings, which, by the way, the Hendrick guys got a big boost there this week when their appeal was rescinded and they all got their points back. And Larson moved back up to like second or something in the standings. So we've got Bowman on the pole. We got Kyle Busch on the front row, which, again, makes things very interesting because they were not exactly priced up this week coming into things. We're going to talk kind of the way we've been doing these podcasts, do a little bit of a slate breakdown, not really a whole lot of focus on specific drivers, even though we just mentioned two of them. So we're going to go with strategy, how we're approaching this slate, how we're building for Richmond, not having seen the cars on track. This being only the second race with this aero package on the cars. And oh, by the way, they have wet tires now. Ooh. Not that they will go racing in the rain, but it's more so if the track is damp when they start, then they can start on wet tires. And then as it dries up, they will switch to slicks. So it will save a little bit of time in track drying. But don't expect if a deluge happens, they're not going to be out there because there's no way you're driving around a short track in that much spray. That's not happening.
Definitely not.
So first things first, you're mainly a GPP player, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. I would say that based off of how this slate sets up, I'm playing more GPPs this week as well. There's too much chalk on this slate right now.
A lot, yes.
To comfortably play cash and know that I would have a lineup that would at least give me 2x back. You might hit the money line, but there's going to be a lot of ties because there's some pretty popular lineups that we can build here. Just with PD. And getting ourselves a share of some laps led leaders. Like Bowman's not that expensive. He's starting on the pole. Kyle Busch is not prohibitively priced. He's also starting on, front row. Even building around William Byron starting third shouldn't necessarily be that hard at 11,000 on DK. Obviously, he's also highly priced on FanDuel, but that's a lot easier to work around. So I'm with you. I'm looking more towards GPPs just
to get to the club. Welcome to the club.
Just to get a little different with the builds, try some different ways to attack this slate. Because let's start things off with Richmond is a 3/4 mile short track that's relatively flat, right? Its nickname is the action track, except for the fact that we haven't really seen a whole lot of action here. The last several races, it's been kind of hard to pass. That being said, I do like what we saw in the package at Phoenix. There was some passing during the race there. Richmond is a tire management track, too. There's some tire wear here, which, you know, is kind of akin to, I would say, Homestead. And maybe it's not going to be quite to the level of Darlington or Auto Club, but it's kind of on the level with Homestead, which, if we get green flag runs, you know, tire wear could come into play here. So with that being said, we don't want to go full PD, but we also don't want to go full front of the, you know, front of the pack here for our builds.
It's a good week to go 50-50, right? Get
yes.
Three guys on top, the way it's priced, three guys, you know, in the top five that are starting in the top 10, and just go three guys towards the back and just see what happens. It's a great week for that.
Yeah, so if we look at the last 10 races from Richmond from a track level standpoint and just see where the winners have come from, it's kind of an interesting breakdown here because the only three of the last 10 winners have come from inside the top five, and none of them have been on the front row. So 3, 4, and 5 have wins here. But you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins from double digits. From double digit starting spots here, including when Kyle Busch won from 32nd, which I don't think is gonna happen this year. That was kind of a fluky thing. So we say there's not a lot of passing, but then guys can win from double digits. What is that? Like, are you still looking at win equity for guys starting like 10th through 20th?
Yes, I am. And there's one I like that's just outside the top 10 that I think will be a really, really good play this week as well in Hamlin. So I think he has a really good chance to win from that 11th spot. And price, not too bad, really. And there's other guys in that area, too, I do like. Trying to see if I could find one here that sticks out besides just putting them in a GPP. Yep. But
by the way, last April, Denny Hamlin started 13th, and he won that race.
Correct. He was really fast on this track.
Both he races was. He closed the gap pretty seriously in the closing laps there last year. By the way, also of note, in the last 10 races, Toyota has won this race 6 times.
Wow. Okay.
Ford has won twice and Chevy has won twice, but there have been, because we had Kyle Busch in back-to-back in 2018, and then we had Truex back-to-back in 2019, and then we had Truex win in September of 2021 and Hamlin win in April of 2022. So JGR is very well represented at this track, which is fitting since it's the Toyota owner's 400. They got that big old inflatable Toyota sign down the backstretch here, too.
You're making me really like Briscoe at 19 now, just from saying that. I don't know why. But
for the 19th
spot, you get the PD and the chance to win at 7,800. I mean, GPP.
I mean, he did start 24th in Phoenix and finish 7th.
Correct.
And Phoenix is a relatively comparable track. Obviously, it's a mile, not 3/4 of a mile, but the shape is relatively the same. Driving style is pretty close. They have the same aero package on the car. So, Briscoe's intriguing.
Mm-hmm. I was just Toyota. He's in that 11 to 20 range. He's right. I just like it for a GPP. He'll probably be low owned. I don't know. I'm going to pepper him in a little bit.
Well, so here's the thing. If you like Kevin Harvick,
Yes, which everyone will. He'll be.
Which everybody does coming in, right? For good reason. He's been dominant here. He's the defending winner, not of this specific race, but the last time we came to Richmond, Kevin Harvick won. He's been a co-favorite basically all week across the sports books, which is interesting to me. Now you get a little bit of PD with him at 10. So if you like him and you're targeting PD with another Ford and Eric Almirola, who's starting 32nd, I think Briscoe, mid-tier, starting 19th, I think you could find some value there. Because you also have Suarez at 8,100, who's starting 20th. You've got Josh Berry in the 9 car starting 30th, who is a very good short track racer, right? And he's 7,900. Briscoe is 78. You have Almirola at 76. You got Ty Gibbs starting 14th, 73rd, which probably doesn't get a whole lot of attention. But Austin Dillon at 7,200 has been very intriguing over the last like year and a half at these shorter, flatter tracks. So I think Briscoe's in a nice little pocket where you may not get that much attention.
Yeah, and but Austin Dillon, man, I'm just not happy with the way he's produced so far this season in general, too. So, I may be off him a little bit.
We'll leave a sour taste in your mouth. But he did put up 41 points. I mean, clearly, right? He finished 20th after starting 13th in Atlanta and then finished 33rd while starting 28th at the road course and didn't even really make it out of stage one, if I recall correctly. Like, it was a rough race. However, Phoenix, he started 30th and finished 16th.
Yeah, no, he so, does have that going for him.
Does have that. He has a decent enough history here that makes him pretty interesting as a flyer candidate, sort of. I mean, he has, in the last 10 similar races, he's started an average of 21st and finished an average of 17th.
Okay.
Not terrible for a guy that's not going to cost you very much.
Yeah, that's not terrible at all. So, but plus the name alone, he normally seems to be higher owned than he should be. So I do like that. And I'd probably fade him anyways for Briscoe, like I said. So, and like you said, so I think that's a good spot to get Briscoe at a good value price. And Dylan, he'll probably be in one or two of my 10 to 12 lineups, you know, maybe. But that's kind of where I'll stick to that.
All right. So here, I know we don't want to really dive into a ton of driver talk, but I feel like there's only one guy that I'm off of above 10K, and that'd be Kyle Larson.
Really? Please do explain.
I just don't think the value is there. Like, he's either, like, sure, at Phoenix, he started first, finished fourth, led 200-something laps, right? And at Vegas, he led 63 laps, started sixth, right? But, like, Richmond has not been one of his better places in general.
Mm-hmm.
He tends to go backwards here more than he goes forwards. And I just feel like there's more value elsewhere. Like at 10-6, I'd rather pay $400 more for Byron, right?
Yeah, I would agree. Pay on that. Yeah.
$200 more for Harvick. I'd rather pay less for Bell. I'd rather pay less for Hamlin.
Yeah, I could see that too. But at the same time, Larson for a GPP, you got to throw him in there just from his name alone, right? Because especially what you're saying, a lot of people will be on the same type of thing. So I could see a low ownership for him at that price going up to Harvick or Byron or going down to Bell or even Truex in that spot on DraftKings. I think I would take a flyer on him in a couple lineups because you never know with him because he is one of the most talented drivers in the field. But I think you're right that I wouldn't go crazy with him. But I'm not going to fade him completely just for that reason. Yeah.
The other thing I want to quickly touch on here is not necessarily taking driver stats here as the be-all, end-all, because we have some drivers that have switched teams recently, and, you know, some of them changed manufacturer. So Like, let's look at Tyler Reddick, right? Reddick at RCR. RCR has struggled at Richmond at shorter, flatter tracks. There's not really any way around it. They have struggled to get top tens here consistently. I know we just talked about Austin Dillon. No, I don't expect him to have a top 10, but starting where he's starting, there's PD upside, right? You know, Tyler Reddick, if you look at his short flat tracks in the last 10, when he's basically been in an RCR car for all of those except for Phoenix, where he finished third, there is one top five out of the last nine prior to Phoenix.
He's coming in hot too. His last four races.
He's starting to figure out the Toyota, right? And we already talked about the Toyota has won six of the last 10 here, right? So Reddick, he's starting fifth. He's now in a Toyota. He's out of the RCR. Kyle Busch on the front row. He's now in an RCR car. Kyle Busch has been very good on short flat tracks, right? Mm-hmm. He was in a Toyota prior to that. At Phoenix, he did okay. Started ninth, finished eighth. Four fastest laps. Not terrible, but he's in an RCR car. We just talked about how RCR has struggled at the shorter, flatter tracks for a little while, okay? Keselowski is another guy who's intriguing to me, because if you look at his overall history here, or at shorter, flatter tracks, it's not really anything to write home about, right? Except for the fact that RFK has been pretty good at short, flat tracks over the same time span we've been comparing JGR and RCR and whatnot. Roush has been pretty good, right? Busch are starting a little high for my liking, to be honest, at seventh. But
yes,
Keselowski, you know, going from Ford of Penske, which aside from Blaney's fastness at these tracks, speed hasn't really been outstanding, but for some reason, Roush has been. So those are some things that we might want to take into account as some guys changing teams, and that their records may not exactly follow suit.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I've never been a big Keselowski fan to begin with for a while, even when he was on Penske and even in DFS. He's one of those guys, too, that every time I play him, straight trash. But then when I don't play him, like 2 weeks ago, finished the second. It's like, come on, man. Come on. So, but I can see where you're coming from. And he does have a good history on these type of tracks. So I may throw him in one, but I just expect that one to just completely bomb. Thanks, Brad.
I mean, there's a reasonable bomb rate with Kaz, right? I'm not going to say.
Can we use that now? A bomb rate on lineups with certain guys?
I mean,
you can make a tool like, for that,
to
right?
To be honest, he went backwards in Phoenix, but I wasn't all that high on playing him starting fourth. Like, there was. It was kind of a shock to see him starting fourth. Starting 24th, if he pulls off the same finish as he did at Phoenix, then there's positive PD upside there. So, you know, there's that. Yeah. I don't know what to make of the Trackhouse guys right
now.
I
don't either. Yeah.
They seem to dislike each other at this point, given what Suarez did on pit road and then the words that they had after the race.
Yeah, I'm not really on either one of them this week, to be honest. I am worried a little bit about the Hamlin-Chastain thing still, now that what happened just recently. So, but Suarez, like, he's just not been great to start this season at all. So I'm kind of off of him until he proves that he could do something.
Yeah, agree. Like, he had a good run at Daytona, but, like, that's a crapshoot, so who cares? Yeah. He had a good run at Auto Club, but again, he was faster last year. And then since then, it's been progressively worse finishes, basically. Yeah. So I think the strategy we're going with this week is, look, we're targeting maybe one or two laps led dominators here, right? Because you're going to need them. There's 400 laps. So there's quite a bit of laps to get credit for in terms of Dominator points. And then we're going with some PD plays. Now, we're not going with guys who are starting super far back. Right?
Not this week, no, yeah.
You can put maybe one of them in there and hope that they move up, right? Almirola is probably going to be a pretty popular dude for doing that. Maybe Ryan Preece. But in general, we're targeting guys that you think can pull off top 15 finishes, because that's probably what it's going to take. Your entire lineup to basically finish in the top 15 in order to see some pretty nice cash here. So we don't have to, I know we talked a lot about Toyota doing well here. We don't have to go full Toyota stack. Get a couple of them, sure. But, you know, we're not going full Toyota stack. And just be wary that we haven't seen these cars on the track, right? So just because somebody did well at Phoenix doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to bring, that the same setup is going to do well at Richmond. We still have to weigh what these guys have done elsewhere. We still have to weigh what their team has done at this track typically. So, yeah, but I would gear it more towards GPPs.
Yeah, let's go. I want an FA winner to win that 100K this week. We're going to do it, right?
Yeah, you were pretty close last week, right?
2 weeks ago, yeah. I was in the number one spot until Larson went down in that one. And I knew it, though, because, man, I hate looking at those mid-race and going, uh-oh. I don't want to be this high already. That's not good. And then sure enough, out of it. So, but, you know, I still got a pretty good chunk that week, so. Hopefully the same thing happens this week for me and all of you out there in the FA Nation as well. So,
yeah, it'd be sweet to have a takedown here. And this is going to be another week where you're probably going to have to hate your lineups for them to wind up doing.
Absolutely hate them. And the one you hate the most, that's the one that's going to have the most chance.
No, that's not to say build only lineups that you hate, because there is the off chance that the one that you like does wind up hitting. But, you know, don't be afraid to get, you know, to pivot off of some guys. Let's say you really like Blaney. Well, pivot off of him to Reddick at some point, right?
I like that too. Yeah, I like that.
Like, let's say that you like Briscoe. Don't be afraid to pivot off of him for, like, Barry or Almirola, right? Like, there are pivots out there for basically everybody. Let's say you got a bunch of Larson. Don't be afraid to pivot to Harvick.
Right. Yeah, you should be looking to pivot up to Harvick. Try to say that three times fast. Jeez, from Larson instead of down to Bell in that case, because Bell would be way too popularly owned. And yeah,
let's say you're building, like, you've got a decent amount of Kyle Busch and Bowman because you're going after laps led dominators. Don't be afraid to pivot to Logano, who's right between them in price and gives you PD. You're going to need lap sled. It's not always going to come from the pole. It's going to come from somebody starting in the top five, almost assuredly, for at least early lap sled. And don't forget, we have stage breaks back. Last week, road course. This week, we have stage breaks back, which, by the way, after watching a bunch of these stage break races for, like, I don't know, the last 5 years or whatever, It was very weird to see points awarded without a guy stopping. It was weird, and I'm not sure that it ultimately changed the race strategy that much, but, like,
it was really weird. And I was like, oh, this will be a shorter race. No.
Well, it would have been if people hadn't wrecked on the three overtimes, but yeah, like Reddick pitted one extra time. And still won. Yeah. So I'm not sure that strategy, like the stage breaks and whatever, really changed that much. I don't know. There was enough caution breaks to. I don't think anybody would have noticed the stage break.
Yeah, definitely. Before we go, what's a good bet? Like, what's the best bet that you have for this week? I'll give you mine too.
Yours is Blaney.
Nope. Mine's Chase Briscoe plus 700 top five finish.
Okay. I can't fault you for a plus 700 on a top five. That's not bad. We're citing these off of DK, by the way, for those interested. Yep. I did my best bets piece or my picks wise betting piece on Friday. I had Byron in there because he was the I had Harvick in there, co-favorite. I had C Bell, who I love this week. Of course, starting 21st puts a little damper on it, but you know, it's all right. You're getting better odds now than you were yesterday on C Bell, so it's plus 800 to win. Bowman's going off at 15-1 from the poll right now, which is
That's intriguing.
I mean, the poll sitter hasn't won in 10 trips here. Neither is the guy starting second. The guy starting third has won once. The guy starting fourth has won once. Guy starting fifth has won once. So Tyler Reddick's going off at 15-1, the same as Alex Bond at 15-1. And Chastain is also 15-1. So,
no.
You know. I don't know. Christopher Bell going off at like plus 110 or whatever for, you know, 115 or so for a top five. I pretty well like that. I mean, if you look at Christopher Bell's last four races at this similar tracks, win, second, win, sixth.
So we're pretty much saying don't put him in your DFS lineup because he's going to be too popular, but bet on him.
Well, I mean, I would have some exposure because if he does what we're expecting him to do, then you're going to
I agree.
To cash. I don't driver props. They changed the I don't know. The matchups are interesting to me. Like, they have Bell even money against Harvick, who's negative money on DK for the matchups. Ooh. But then they have Bell and Hamlin with the exact same odds, both minus 110.
That makes sense. Yeah. They're both like pretty much equal on all the betting sites as well.
Yeah, they have Larson even money against Harvick.
Oh, I may want to take Harvick in that one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to do that. They have, okay. You're going to take Blaney at plus money over Chastain, right?
I would. Yeah, because you got Blaney at what, 1,800? And Chastain at 1,500.
Right. And Blaney right now going off at 21-20, which is what, plus 105?
Yeah, I would take that.
To Chastain at 4-5, which is what, minus 125?
Yeah, I'd Blaney all day right there.
Yeah, I probably would too. It's just kind of interesting how they set up these.
I like it. Like, sometimes I see one that's too good to be true, and you play it, and then you're like, uh-oh, it's too good to be true, and one of them crashes out, or so. It's always the ones that are like the close ones. I feel you have your best chance of actually winning, like the Blaney Chastain, you know. But like the Harvick and Larson one scares me now because that is almost too good to be true, in this type of format and race. But yeah, I like it.
I mean, they're starting basically next to each other in the starting grid, right?
Yeah, so you might as well take the plus money of, like, it just seems obvious to me, but
yeah. Bowman Logano is an interesting bet.
Bowman and Logano, what is their matchup?
So Bowman's 4-5, Logano's 21-20. So
same as Blaney and Chastain, pretty much, right?
Pretty close. It is identical, yes.
Yeah, so, and you got Bowman starting on the pole, and Logano, where's he starting? But he's been fast this year, man. He always seems to find a way to get his car up there, almost in every race this year. And I probably expect him to do the same thing this time.
If we're going off of Phoenix, Logano started 16th and finished 11th there, right? Bowman started 18th and finished 9th.
So you would take Bowman in this matchup?
I just think you have to take the fact that I don't see Bowman falling all that far back.
Okay.
And so if Bowman falls to fifth, Logano's got to go from 18th to fourth.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, so maybe.
Right, like if you're envisioning both getting in the top 10, Logano has more work to do than Bowman in that regard.
Correct. So maybe you do just take what is a little bit of a less risk with Bowman, right? For pretty much identical to the Blaney Chastain. So maybe you do go Bowman there. Man, now we just went from DFS to straight matchup.
That's fun. I don't have a problem with it.
I love doing it. Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do.
I think the top five bets are interesting that only three guys are negative money on top fives on DK.
Yeah, Larson, Harvick, and then Byron.
Yeah, and then you get plus money for Hamlin for a top five.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty. That's almost too safe of a bet for plus.
Bowman starting on the pole is still plus money for a top five.
He's at plus 210, which is a nice value at that. I don't like the Chastain top five at all. Reddick's intriguing.
She is, only because it's not RCR, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not touching Suarez with a 10-foot, 11-foot pole. Briscoe at plus 700 just still sticks out to me as a really good value.
You're getting Briscoe at plus 700 for a top five, but Josh Berry is plus 500 starting for the pack.
I just saw that. Sorry, I'm laughing hysterically because that, if you put a bet on that and that hits, kudos to you, my friend, because that is.
It's also not enough return for Josh Berry top five.
Wow. Okay.
I get he's in the nine car. And I get that we all love the Hendrick, stuff. But, to be honest, even Chase in the nine car only put up three top fives in the last nine races in this car. And it's Chase Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Cost of a championship, that car. Pretty much.
Chastain cost him a championship.
Also that, too. Yeah, and even I'm looking at Josh Berry.
Is Barry across the board better odds than Briscoe?
I think because A, he's in the nine, but we don't.
He's a short track guy and he's in the Xfinity race, but he hasn't done anything in the nine car to make you believe that all he's doing is getting a feel for it.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he did have. Well, that's.
He had a top 10.
A top 10 being 10th.
Right. Also, he started 17th. Now he's starting 30th.
And then on the Pennzoil 400, he started 32nd and finished 29th. So, although that was his first race in the nine, so we'll give him a little bit of credit there.
You can find top 10 bets for Josh Berry. I don't know what the lines are.
Dude, they may be negative if a top five is plus 500. Jeez.
I can only pull odds from DK because I'm in a state where it's not legal to bet, and DK lets me see the odds without actually betting. Everybody else has them behind the state, legality wall. And to be fair, DraftKings doesn't exactly have the best props or whatnot out there.
Plus 500 for a top five for Barry. That is insane. Briscoe plus 700 all day.
I really don't get. Ryan Blaney, who in the last 10 short track races, his average finish is 6th, is going off at plus 250, and Josh Berry's twice that, starting...
Doesn't make any sense.
Twice as far back, basically.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen now, Sal.
I swear to God, if he goes off...
it's going to happen only because we smack-talked it. But that's the way the cookie crumbles on these things.
I mean, no disrespect to Josh Berry. He's quite a good racer. I love behind him that he basically took over a car and then won at Martinsville and forced his way into a very good ride at the Xfinity level. That being said, he should not be better odds to win nor top five than Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, which is why you take Chase Briscoe at the value.
Yeah, speaking of which, do we have a Josh Berry Chase Briscoe matchup?
Oh,
Probably not.
no, probably not. I doubt it. Well,
Doubt
they
it.
are next to each other in DraftKings odds. By the way, Josh Berry to win the race plus 4,000. Chase Briscoe plus 6,000.
Yeah, I'd still take Briscoe on that.
Yeah.
Getting
I wouldn't
half
even.
again as much return. Like,
Yeah, that's insane. I'm not touching Bubba Wallace this week just because he's not been good. So yeah, I think Briscoe at top five is your best value bet if I had to look at it. No matchup for Barry versus Briscoe.
nope. That's not a shocker. They're two relatively
Yeah.
more obscure guys to be betting in the first place. They don't bring in the money, so DK isn't going to put them on the board. All righty. Well, we have talked strategy. We have talked some drivers that we like and don't like. We have talked bets that we like and don't like. And we have talked some weather. By the way, I find it ironic that Kyle Weatherman was a weather casualty in the Xfinity race. He didn't do qualifying. He didn't get to race his way in, so he did not qualify.
And the
Which is
dad
cool.
joke of the day goes to Matt Sells or his weatherman joke.
So we have the Xfinity race this afternoon. Trucks, by the way, Dan Malin put out the playbook for trucks. That is after the Xfinity race in a weird scheduling thing this weekend. I guess it's because it's Central Time and it's a longer race. I don't know. And then we got Cup racing on Sunday from Richmond. If you want to stay up overnight, F1 is racing in Australia overnight. It's at like 1 a.m. Eastern, green flag.
I'm good. DVR.
Yeah. Or I should say lights out for F1. I do have a betting piece up there on PicksWise for F1. Well, if you're interested in playing DFS, I can answer some questions. I'm not doing content for it though. But other than that, let's go crush it this week. Thanks for filling in quite admirably there, Mr. Rouse.
No problem. Let's go Blaney. Let's go Briscoe. Let's go San Diego State, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Although,
I guess we'll
if you
go
listen to
for
this tomorrow morning, then you'll be like, oh, yeah, they won or lost. But still, go
right,
San
exactly. I guess I'll go for San
Diego.
Diego State because I'm still bitter that FAU knocked out my alma mater. But
There you go. There you go. I like it.
all righty. Well, good luck, FA Nation, and make sure to check out the playbook. This will be atop that. There'll be core plays. Projections will be out. We'll have the whole kit and caboodle out on Saturday afternoon and evening. So good luck, FA Nation.
Look at